Hi, listeners. It's Tuesday, May 31st, and you're listening to episode 17 of Delicious Talk.
Hey, loyal listeners. This is Shelly with Delicious Talk, and you're listening to episode 17. I have my girls, Anika. What's up, Anika?
Hello.
And Nadine here with me.
Hello, listeners.
And you're in for another hot topic night on Delicious Talk. We have some really interesting topics, such as Bishop Ed Long settling, as well as the Casey Anthony case going on in Orlando. So, ladies, let's get started.
Okay, let's start with Mr. Longfellow.
Yeah.
Because what do you think? They announced, I heard Michael Baisden saying today that they announce news on Fridays when they want it to be buried in the news cycle and not be picked up.
So well, Friday, guess what? It's not going to be buried.
Okay. Friday, they I don't know who they are, but I guess it must be Bishop Long's people.
Publicist
announced that he has settled his lawsuit with the four young boys or young men now who are members of his church in Atlanta. Is it Atlanta? Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's called
Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. 26,000
members. Atlanta, Georgia. Okay.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with it, 26,000 members in this church. So he's considered a mega pastor, mega televangelist. And he settled a lawsuit for $15 million. And these four boys accused him of basically molestation and using things to
manipulate
them and to coerce them into sexual behavior with him and sexual relationships. And when they started getting older, this started when they were like 16, 17. And as they aged and found that they weren't actually gay and they actually liked girls, the bishop got jealous and cut them off. So that's how things started to come out.
Yeah, he used to buy them cars, yes. He bought them jewelry.
Take them on his private jet to Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and as a kid, I mean, at 15 and 16, who wouldn't want that? I mean, let's keep it real.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm just like, settled? He settled for $15 million. And his response was to get in front of his church, in front of his congregation a few months ago, and say how he was going to fight these charges and that, you know, he's not a perfect man, but he's...
To me, this admit your guilt. Because to me, if I know that I did not molest someone, I am not going to give you $15 million. I don't care how much I want to. We're going to fight it out and duke it out in court because I did not touch you.
Thank you.
Exactly.
I feel like he basically paid them $15 million to lie on him if it's not true.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? So, I mean, for the dignity and respect of your congregation and your followers who come to that church and follow you, I think he owed them more than that. And I think even when he made his statement to the congregation, I felt like it was lacking because he never once denied it. He never once came right out and said, you know, members, family, please understand, I am not guilty of these charges. He never once said that.
Exactly. And not only that, to me, who sends muscle t-shirt pictures to boys?
Exactly, Anika. What the hell was that? What was that?
He was sexy. He was sharing the sexiness.
Who does that?
Some old ass man sending you.
You should be sending them scriptures. I could understand if you were saying that you send me emails of scriptures and, you know, you gonna send me a picture of a muscle shirt. Fail.
I'm at a point in my life where I am so turned off by preachers and churches. It's like these people, they're being idolized and they're more screwed up than you are. You go to church and you give them all your money and you sit there praising them. They're just human beings and they're more screwed up than you are.
And this is
but
what
you know what's so sad?
Uh-huh.
But here in Atlanta, don't you dare have a conversation near someone who actually like goes to his church or whatever. They will fight you down tooth and nail.
He'll just have to fight me because I'm gonna tell him that he's a pedophile.
No, they are very, very supportive and defensive of him.
They're ignorant. Yes,
very much so. They are blind allegiance.
Yeah,
and it's like I'm not saying all of the members. If any of the members are listening to the Delicious Talk, we don't want to paint you all with the same brush. But a lot of the members that I have seen them interview on TV, they have been so just, you know, no way is this true, and ready to just, you know, tar and feather these young men. And I've heard interviews with two of them, and I believe them. Just, you know, hearing, listen to them talk. I believe what they're saying.
Obviously hurt.
They don't come across like the vicious, you know, liars just after something. And right. You know, the way he got up there and said he has 5 rocks and I haven't thrown one yet and I'm going to fight
and
this.
And not once did he say, I did not molest these boys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And where are your 5 rocks? All of those 5 rocks were worth $3.75 million
each. What the hell does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean?
It's not like when Bill Clinton came out and said, I did not have sexual relations.
Okay. At least he came out and denied it, right?
Just need a break.
But then, you know, it's like now for him to just basically give them money.
$15 million at that.
And this is the church's money. Do you think this is his personal money? No. If members of Missionary New Birth, Missionary Baptist, or whatever it's called, are paying for Bishop Eddie Long and his clergy to fly people around on private planes to, you know, exotic locales and plush hotel suites and buying them cars and electronic gadgets and iPads and Blackberries and putting them up in houses for rent. I mean, I read those, my dad and I were reading the case lawsuits and the things that they allege in there that he did. I mean, it's very detailed. And I mean, he bought a house and put one of them up in. And the mother, the young boy's mother, thought, "Oh, the bishop is taking my son under his wing."
Let me tell you something. And you know, these parents, I'm sick of them. If somebody takes too much interest in your child, it doesn't cross your mind that this is not real?
It should. It should. But I would imagine that if it's the pastor and you respect the pastor of your church. You know, and your son doesn't have a father. That's the common denominator with these 4 boys. They don't have fathers.
Buy him a home.
But what's so sad is that all of this money that he have is people like you and me who work hard every day. And we're paying our tithes and stuff. And you're taking this in and whining and dining little boys for your sick fetish.
Yes.
You have to answer to a higher authority when you go. And that's all I can say about
Maybe
that.
Maybe not when he go, right here. He don't have to go nowhere. I'm sure he's in hell right now. We probably just don't know it.
That's
because,
true.
I mean, it's not going to stop. If he is seriously a pedophile or a homosexual, it's going to happen again. He's not going to just suddenly stop.
Hey, if you're a homosexual, be a homosexual.
Oh, no, he's against them. He preaches against them vigorously.
What? Yes, he has. Big time. Big time. I mean, he had a sermon against them.
He had a whole movement. He marched against gays and all that.
Maybe I'm just too skeptical because I just never fell prey to all these preachers. And
well, me neither. But I just, you know, I'm skeptical about the whole tithes and offering thing. Yeah, I understand churches need to pay their light bill and all of that. But I am not for the church and the clergy and the leadership of the church living high lifestyle when the members can't hardly pay their rent.
On private jet. If we're going to do missionary work, why are you on a private jet?
Thank you. And do members of the church have access? And we were hearing when this story first broke, we were getting some insight into the mechanisms of the church and how it works inside, that most of the members cannot even get a one-on-one meeting with Bishop Long. He is like the king. And if you have to speak to one of the other pastors, the junior pastors,
you know what?
You can't even see him.
Anika, I know you're probably watching this show. Remember the Keisha Cole show on BET?
Yes.
Do you remember when they went to see Bishop Eddie Long?
Yep.
They did.
But then my friend used to go to his gym. Do you know that his gym in the church has pictures of him all around? That should tell you something. Seriously, my friend told me that you go to his gym, there's just pictures of him. Jack LaLanne didn't have pictures of himself all over his Jack LaLanne gym. Like, damn.
Let me tell you, I hope that his congregation wakes up.
I hope his congregation beat him.
But you see, the problem is, like the complaints were stating, he has his co-pastors, and they named a few others in the lawsuit, the leadership in the church, who help him do this. They knew about it. The complaints say that these other officials in the church knew what this was going on, knew he was sharing the hotel rooms. They arranged it. One of them, he was the one who bought the car for the young man.
So, and these people, like, have kids?
But they're how getting greased. Their palms are being greased. And it's like, how do you put a stop to a system that works so well for you in the long run? I guess if you get certain shady people and, you know, it's working for them. So it's in their best interest for it not to come to a stop, not to come out, for him not to come falling down. Because too many people are benefiting. Too much money coming in. It's too profitable. He's selling CDs, videos. You know, he probably even has a workout video.
And he's since probably he's so selling toupees. You know, he has that curly weave that he put on his head.
That looks so ridiculous.
I'm telling you, when I saw him, I was like, there's no way I could go to this man for counseling. No.
And he was having sexual relations with them in the church, in his private apartment on the church premises.
That's disgusting.
Okay. So, Mr. Long, I won't even call you a bishop anymore.
Because you ain't no bishop.
But Mr. Long, really, come on. Come on. You know, the Bible says, let's get back to the basics. What does the Bible say? You got to stop living this. And if you are innocent, you're not speaking or talking or walking in the way of innocence. That's all I can say.
If I was his wife, I'd clock him for
she
real.
She has stayed with him. I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't believe it. She's in denial. But she's, so far from what we've heard.
Please know. They always know.
Because why isn't she with him in Kenya? Why isn't she with him on these in New Zealand? All these exotic places he was taking these young boys and being with them in hotel rooms. Where was his wife? That's my question.
I'm coming. I'm your wife. I'm coming.
Yeah. Why aren't you with your wife? Why is it such a great opportunity for you to be with teenage boys?
She's just not his type. I mean, obviously.
But if you're his wife.
She's just not that into you.
Aren't you going to say, why aren't I coming?
She's a cover.
She's at Bloomingdale's or Saks or something. Maybe she's just enjoying the money.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Moving along. Child.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so another hot topic. Casey Anthony, the trial.
The devil. The devil, Anthony.
Oh, my gosh. I just have to
hit a wall with her. Seriously.
I am so passionate about this case because I just feel for little Kaylee Anthony and what happened to her. It's like, I don't know what happened to her, but I just feel it for her, man, because this little baby was 2.5 years old. And I would hate to see this girl, who it's so obvious to me, had something to do with her death. And is trying to get away with it. And these lawyers, these defense lawyers, make me sick.
Yes.
Okay? When they try, it's a game.
How do they sleep at night?
It's a game. It's just a job. And they just, you know, it's a game to them. They're not looking at it whether they probably know she's guilty. But their job is, how do we get her off? How do we, you know, defend her so that she, and it just sickens me. You know,
all of
this
a sudden, the child didn't die. And the child died in the pool. Yeah, right. Why you didn't say that all along?
They're just trying to create reasonable doubt. And now they're trying to make it seem like she's crazy with imaginary friends.
Nadine, did they find her body?
Yes. Yeah. Like 5 months later, though. 5 months later, like, I don't even think it was a mile away from the Anthony's house.
Under a tree, right? Or something.
So
like,
I think it was an FPL worker. In the cause of death?
They couldn't. The body was so badly decomposed.
But they could determine that it looked like there was duct tape around her head, around her mouth. I don't know what else. But the other evidence they had was her car, KC, I mix their names up, KC Anthony, was her car had the evidence of a decomposing.
Yeah, I saw that. So, and the mother was saying, "Oh, it's pizza. You leave pizza in your car." What? Shut it.
That upset me too. But I do understand it's her child, and nobody knows what they would do if you find yourself in that situation. Because even though she's the one who turned her daughter in, because she was freaking out that the little girl had been missing for a month when she finally got Casey to admit that she didn't. Where's Kaylee? She's been missing for a month. I've been trying to find her. So she freaks out and calls 911. And so, but then now when it's looking like her daughter is responsible, actually killed a little girl, she started backpedaling, because at first she told them the car smelled like there was a dead body in it. She said that plain. They played it in court today.
Yeah.
And over these years, since this has been going on, she's kind of backpedaled from that. Oh, it was pizza. Oh, it was garbage. Oh, you know, it's like.
I mean, you're right. Maybe I don't know how I would respond or react, but oh my gosh, if this kid can kill her own child, what would she do to you?
Thank you.
I'm sorry. You got to call a spade a spade. If your child is a murderer or a thief or whatever it is, turn that sucker in.
But it looks like this girl, Casey Anthony, has had her parents wrapped around her pinky, making up stories and whole people and lives that nothing exists like that. Today, they were the mother was testifying, and Casey was, you know, way into her pregnancy with Kaylee, and the parents were in denial that she was even pregnant. She hadn't told them. And yeah, they were asking her about that and saying other people could tell that she's pregnant. And you guys were like, oh no, she's just bloated. Oh no, she always gets bloated. So they're trying to paint this picture like the parents were kind of like not all there when it comes to her. It was easy for her to manipulate them and lie to them. You know what I mean? And just kind of make up stories. The babysitter and nanny that she claims Casey was, Kaylee.
Zanny
the nanny, they were calling her today in court. That person was fabricated. Everything about her, and she had told her parents, made up a whole life for this person. For over a year, the mother believed that she was taking her to this nanny that didn't exist. And she made up a mother for the nanny, a child for the nanny. The nanny had a dog. She said Casey had scratches on her. And when she asked her what happened, she said, oh, Zenaida's dog. She got a new puppy. I mean, this girl was a pathological liar.
Well, what pissed me off with that, what if there was somebody that fit that description?
Thank you. Exactly.
What if they didn't find that body?
She led police on a wild goose chase, because I was living in Orlando when it first broke. And I mean, she took them. She hadn't worked at Universal for 2 years, I think. And she took the cops there, made up this whole lie about Universal and what she was doing there, took them there, walked down a hallway in the offices, and then stopped and said, oh, I don't really work here.
I hate to put, but you know what, Nadine? I hate to bring this up, though. And you're probably going to, both y'all are probably going to hit me upside my head. I hate to bring up the race card, but had it been a black girl, guess what? She would have been frying already. Who takes someone on a wild goose chase?
Okay.
Well, had it been a black girl, what happened?
I'm going to agree with you on that one, because whose child goes missing for 31 days and don't report it?
I would be in jail frying. Why
say the prime suspect immediately? Immediately. I don't get it.
Because who takes someone, if I took someone to American Express and I hadn't worked for American Express for 8 years, and it's obvious, all of these things are obvious lies.
Yeah.
Trust me, I would have been on death row. They wouldn't have needed a body for a black, young black girl. They wouldn't have needed a body. Just the pictures of me partying, I would have been on death row, because they would have said they would have had what they call it, evidence, circumstantial evidence, enough.
Yeah, think about it.
Convict me.
You have a 2-year-old that goes missing for however many days, and you don't call the cops. Are you serious?
She told her when her mom called. Here's what they've said so far. The mother, Casey, got angry with her parents, took Kaylee, the little girl, and disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother couldn't find her for a month. So her mom, you know, got in touch with people and tracked her down through her friend, the friend Amy, who we'll get to another time, who testified today, and found Casey. And when she found her, Casey somehow must have stole her mother's car or something. So the mother had called the police on 3 times on that day. The first time she was calling about her car, that she wants them to come arrest her daughter because she stole her car. Then she kept quizzing her, where is Kaylee? Where is Kaylee? Casey was telling her, oh, she's with the babysitter. She's with the babysitter. She's with the babysitter. When was the last time you saw her? Anyway, what she was saying wasn't making any sense. So the grandmother, I guess, overheard her telling somebody else, her brother or somebody, that the little girl's been missing for a month. She freaked out and called the police and reported her missing and saying, my daughter finally admitted, because they played that 911 call today. Mm-hmm. And my daughter finally admitted that Casey's missing. She's 2 years old. Or she was calling her three, because I guess she was 2.5. She's like, she's 3 years old. You know, oh my God, whatever. That's what happened. So she gets on the phone to talk to the 911 operator, because the 911 operator asked to speak to her. So she goes, oh, my daughter. She goes, okay, what's going on there? Oh, my daughter's been missing for 31 days.
Yeah, like no big deal.
Flat. And she says, why didn't you report her missing before? Oh, I've been trying to find her myself, which was stupid. What? Why isn't this girl? Here's what upset me all this time. This happened in 2008. In June. Okay? It's 2011 and she is just now going to trial because of the crap that the defense gets to do? That upsets me so much, especially when it's so obvious. Who pays
all of this? The taxpayers.
And she's in jail. We're paying for her to eat. Okay? Florida taxpayers.
And then she didn't, the funny thing about it is all the time, but leading up to the trial, Nancy Grace used to get on her all the time and say how, you know, she has no emotion. Now, all of a sudden, when I do catch it at work for minutes at a time, I see her bawling.
She cries on cue. Don't pay attention. She cries when it's convenient. And the other thing that came out when they played her phone recording when she was in jail and she was talking to her mom and her brother. Mm-hmm. From the jail, and she was saying a whole bunch of stuff, and then she says, all they care about, meaning her parents, all they care about is finding Kaylee. All they care about is Kaylee. Oh, and then she goes, then when she realized how that came out, she goes, oh, and you know what? That's all I care about too. What?
Bitch.
So they're like, yeah, the jury can't be missing that. I mean, it's like it was all about me. Yeah. Your 2.5-year-old daughter has been missing for a month.
Then they have pictures of her partying, drinking.
The whole time the child was supposedly missing. And when she sent them on Orlando police on this wild goose chase looking for this non-existent nanny. She has Denida. A whole name, hyphenated last name and everything that she made up. And today on the stand, the mother was like, she just found out the other day that none of these people existed. This whole network of people that she believed was real, that her daughter talked to her about for like over a year. None of them are real. So the defense are saying, the imaginary friends. So they're trying to paint an insanity defense of some kind.
Whatever.
And I hope it doesn't work. She's not insane. She knows exactly what she's doing.
Because if you were insane, you wouldn't even think twice. You would have killed the child and just... You wouldn't have been able to if you have bad cognitive thinking, you wouldn't have been able to concoct this. A person that's crazy can't do all of that. You see what I'm saying?
She has mental issues, but not insanity. She knew what she was doing, and she knows what she's doing. I think so. She's very manipulative. Look what she did to the friend with the checks. Because that's why they had arrested her the second time. When they arrested her the first time, she got out on bail. They arrested her the second time because of the check fraud that she did to her friend. What's her friend name?
And she stole from her grandmother, too.
From her mother, yeah. Okay? Writing fake checks. This girl is on vacation. She's depleted her bank account. I was like, oh, my God.
She's crazy. She's just literally, like, sick in her damn head.
Yeah, and I just want to say, I hope justice is done. I am going to just cry if she gets off. We don't need an OJ here. Sorry. That girl is guilty of sin. It's obvious.
Wow.
So I try to watch it each day. It's like riveting, like when OJ's trial was on. You have to be listening to all the testimonies.
No, but they need to have justice for this little girl. Yes. This is crazy.
I have a 2-year-old and there's no way. I don't even like my daughter to be out of my house without me.
Okay. She was jealous, Shelly. She started getting jealous of the way her parents doted on the little girl. It's like she was the darling, and now she has Kaylee, and they love Kaylee so much she was jealous. And she was also frustrated that her mother wouldn't babysit when she wants to go out more. That's what her ex-best friend that she stole from was testifying to today. She was very frustrated about that.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It is sad.
Okay, so we want our listeners to chime in about, you know, Bishop Long and Casey Anthony. We're going to cut it off for tonight. Boy, we've had some intense sessions in the past 2 weeks with these cases. But,
yes, we look forward to hearing from you. So make sure you respond to our hot topics, okay?
Yes. See you next week.